You're listening to a message from Every Nation Canberra. In this message, Pastor Joe Sulit uses 2 Chronicles 20, verses 1 to 12, to identify several biblical principles on how to deal with trials in life.
There was this story of a man who was walking on the edge of the cliff, and he slipped and fell down. On the way down, he was able to grab on a branch. And when he looked down about 1,000 meters below, of course, he had the scare of his life. And he started shouting for help. Help, help. I need someone. Help me. I'm down here. So he kept on shouting. And then after a while, there was this voice. Jack, I'm here. Oh, please help me. I'm down here. I need help. And then the voice said, I see you. I said, who are you? He said, I'm the Lord. I said, Lord, please, if you just, you know, save me from this dilemma, I will stop sinning and I will serve you all the days of my life. And the Lord said, Jack, just easy on the promises. He said, I'll do anything. Just tell me, I'll do anything. I'll obey you. And then the Lord said, okay, you say you will obey me. Here's what you need to do. The Lord said, let go. And then there was silence. And then he looked down. And then he said, help, help. Is there anyone else who could help me? See, we see this as something funny, right? But this is how we respond to the Lord. When we are in a dilemma, in a difficult situation, we ask God, Lord, please help me. Just get me out of here. And then when he tells you to do something, I don't think I can do that. Our series today is aptly called Battles and Blessings. Our life is a series of battles and blessings. Others say it's a cycle. You go through a battle, you go through a blessing. But my take on it is that they happen side by side. We all have blessings, but at the same time, we go through challenges in life. Sun Tzu, the known author of The Art of War, this is what he said. To win 100 victories in 100 battles is not the supreme of excellence. He said, to subdue the enemy without fighting is the supreme of excellence. Right? If you can win the war without fighting, that's the supreme of excellence. And I would like to tell you about a man who actually won a battle without fighting. Can you actually win a battle without even lifting a finger? If you can do that, then, you know, you're the best. Let me ask you to turn your Bibles to 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verses 1 to 12. We are using the ESV version. We are going actually through the entire chapter, chapter 20, but we won't be reading it verse by verse. But I just want you to keep your Bibles open and read along with me as we go through the preaching. And what we want to achieve today is to actually find ways on how we can win our battles and turn them into blessings. Today, we will be looking at the biblical principles on how to deal with trials in life. We all have our own strategies. When we go through some difficulties in life, we sort of like have this plan of action. How can I get myself through this? How can I make this happen? But today, we will look at what the Bible says, the biblical principles in winning the battles that we face. The man that I'm talking about, Jehoshaphat. The kingdom in the Old Testament was divided into two. The northern kingdom, which is called Israel, and the southern kingdom, which is called Judah. The king of Israel was a wicked king. His name is Ahab. And the king of Judah is this guy called Jehoshaphat. Now, keep your Bibles open. There is a threat coming. See, Judah, on the other side of the sea, there are three kingdoms. the kingdom of Ammon, the kingdom of Moab, and the kingdom of Edom. The Ammonites, the Moabites, and the Edomites. You hear a lot of ites in the Bible, like parasites or whatever. A lot of ites in the Bible. So we've got three kingdoms flanking the kingdom of Judah. Verse 20, chapter 20, verses 1 to 2. Let's read. After this, the Moabites, the Ammonites, and with them some of the Maonites came against Jehoshaphat for battle. Some men came and told Jehoshaphat, "A great multitude is coming against you from Edom. From beyond the sea, behold, they are in Hazazon Tamar," that is Engedi, present-day Engedi. As you can see, Engedi is very close to Jerusalem. This is just about 15 hours worth of march, right? Very close. Judah has an army of more than 1 million soldiers. Let's read verse 3. "I'm a king. I've got a million soldiers at my disposal." How did he respond when he heard that there's this multitude of enemies, big armies, triple the size of his army, approaching Jerusalem and taking over Judah? The king was afraid. In verse 3, it says, "Then Jehoshaphat was afraid. He was trembling with fear." It's natural to be afraid. This is a powerful man who ruled a great kingdom. But when he learned there was a threat coming in, he was afraid. And we see ourselves in situations like this. We know that we're good at, you know, living life and getting through all those things. But when we are bombarded with, you know, troubles and worries left and right, it's natural. We get afraid. You know, most of what we worry about, they're rooted in fear. Someone once said, "Faith and fear require you to believe in something that you do not see. But you have a choice. You have a choice to be fearful. You have a choice to be faithful." You see, fear is faith in reverse, right? It takes you to the other direction. They say faith and fear cannot coexist at the same time. But I guess in reality it does, but it's inversely proportional to each other. If you have more faith, you're less fearful. If you're more fearful, you're less faithful. That's just how it is. How do you handle difficult situations? We know that King Jehoshaphat was afraid. A great multitude of enemies, less than away from Jerusalem. He had an army at his disposal, more than 1 million strong. He could have called his generals, "Meet tayo. Let's see how we can counter this imminent attack. Let's have a plan of action." But there was little time to prepare. It was not as easy as texting them or calling them. You know how it's like. There are millions of armies approaching them in less than a day. What was the first thing that the king did? Verse 3, "Then Jehoshaphat was afraid and set his face to seek the Lord." Biblical principle number one: when you are surrounded by enemies, by trials and worries and doubts and disappointments and fear and hatred, seek the Lord. "And proclaimed a fast throughout Judah. And Judah assembled to seek help from the Lord. From all the cities of Judah, they came to seek the Lord." Seek the Lord was mentioned three times. The response to challenges that we face, first and foremost, is to seek the Lord. I know that when you go through difficulties in life, you sort of like calculate in your mind, how do I cross this bridge? How do I get to the other side? How do I fix this? How do I pay my bill? How do I get through the week? And things like that. How do we seek the Lord? How do we seek the Lord? We seek the Lord in prayer. We sang a while ago, our battles are best fought on our knees. The greatest battles that we win them kneeling down. In verse 5, Jehoshaphat stood in the assembly of Judah and Jerusalem. He went before the entire kingdom in the house of the Lord, before the new court. And what did he do? He started praying. The king went before all his constituents and he started praying. And the prayer, we can read it from verses 6 to 12. The first thing that you do in your prayer, you declare that God is bigger than your problems. Verse 6, he said, O Lord, God of our fathers, are you not God in heaven? You rule over all the kingdoms of the nations. In your hand are the power and might, so that no one is able to withstand you. When we pray, the first thing that we should do is declare that the God we are praying to is bigger than any of the challenges and problems that we face. Our God is bigger than the giants that we face. In verse 7, he said, did you not, our God, drive out the inhabitants of this land before your people Israel and give it forever to the descendants of Abraham, your friend? When we are overwhelmed with the things that life throws at us, let's look back at God's faithfulness. Kailan mo ba ako pinabayaan, Lord? When did God leave you? When did God forsake you? Maybe he was silent for a while. Maybe you felt like, I can't hear you, God. I can't see you. But God has never forsaken you, neither did he leave you. And he will never forsake nor leave you, no matter what happens. When you pray, it's important to let God know what is in your heart. Cry out to God. Verse 9, if disaster comes upon us, the sword, the judgment, the pestilence, the famine, we will stand before this house and before you, for your name is in this house, and cry out to you in our affliction, you will hear and save. When you are in a dilemma, you cry out to the Lord in your affliction. There is someone you can call. There's a call a friend button in your life, and God will hear and save you. We cry out to God and we believe that he hears us and he will save us. But we have to tell him what we are worried about. Not because he doesn't know, but he wants us to come to realize that on our own, we can't do anything about it. Verse 10, and now behold, the men of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, whom you would not let Israel invade when they came from the land of Egypt, and whom they avoided and did not destroy, behold, you told us not to touch them. Behold, they reward us by coming to drive us out of your possession, which you have given us to inherit. Or, O our God, will you not execute judgment on them? For we are powerless against this great horde that is coming against us. It's important. King Jehoshaphat said, Lord, I am powerless against this great horde that is coming to attack us. Jehoshaphat spoke to all his people. In prayer, he declared that God that they serve is powerful than any army that they may face. He remembered God's goodness and faithfulness in the past to his ancestors, the patriarch Abraham. He cried out for help and acknowledged his need for God. Sometimes the only thing that keeps us from experiencing the blessing of the Lord is this. He's just waiting for us to seek him in humility. See, the powerful king who has a vast army, he said, for we are powerless. He admitted and he acknowledged his need for the Lord. He admitted and acknowledged his own inadequacy. You know, the people that God doesn't want to help, they're the people who arrogantly believe that they don't need help. God hates pride. And sometimes, the only thing that keeps us from experiencing God's miracle in our lives is our own pride. And verse 12, this is what he said. We do not know what to do. Biblical principle number 3, seek the Lord in humility. Sometimes all that God is waiting for is for us to say, Lord, hindi ko na alam gagawin ko. Lord, I do not know what to do. In our knees, we cry out to Him, Lord, I do not know what to do. It is in the stance of humility before our awesome and powerful God that we begin to feel the power of His presence. Jehoshaphat said to the Lord, we do not know what to do, but, he said, but, see, he's in a dire position, not knowing what to do, but our eyes, he said, our eyes are on you. I am lost, I am hopeless, I am depressed, I'm in a pit too deep for me to climb out, but my eyes are on you. Our perspective of the challenges and the battles we face, they change not on how we look at it, but based on who we look up to when we are in the midst of it. It's not a matter of perspective, it's a matter of attitude. In verse 14, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jehiel, the son of Zechariah. God spoke to the whole kingdom, who he knew was afraid. And through him, his message was this. This is what God said to the people. Listen, all Judah and inhabitants of Jerusalem, and you, King Jehoshaphat, listen. Thus says the Lord to you, do not be afraid. Do not be dismayed at this great horde, for the battle is not yours, but God's. You see, the battle you are fighting is not really yours, it's God's. We struggle. Why? Because we try to fight the battle on our own. Where does our help come from? Psalm 121, verse 1, I lift my eyes up to the hill. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. Our help comes from the Lord. Verse 17, God said, you will not need to fight this battle. Stand firm, hold your position, and see the salvation of the Lord on your behalf, O Judah and Jerusalem. Do not be afraid. He said this again. Do not be afraid. Do not be dismayed. Tomorrow, go out against them, and the Lord will be with you. When you are in the midst of a difficult time in your life, be still. You know, if I was king, I would have put my best warriors on the front line. The strongest, the biggest in the front line. I would fortify it with my strongest armors and the best weapons that I have. That's what you should do when you are going to face an army 3 times bigger than yours. But what did the king do? Who did he place in front of his vast army? The worship team, the choir. It's like, okay, we're going to a battle. Can we call on the worship team, please? Be in front. All the people, the worship team were in front. We read it in verse 21. They were singing and praising. Give thanks to the Lord, for His steadfast love endures forever. You go into a battle not, you know, wrapped up with all those ammunition and everything that you need to throw your enemy out. You go into the battle in a stance of worship. Lord, I know. I thank you because your love endures forever. Remember, our battles are not just won by having the right perspective. They are won by having the right attitude. And that is the attitude of worship. That's what we forget the first thing we step into the battlefield. We forget to worship. The king who won this epic battle never lifted a finger to subdue the enemy without fighting is the supreme of excellence. And we can only do that if we seek the Lord in prayer. They subdued the enemy not with any single weapon of war, but with the weapon of prayer and worship. Let's go to verse 22. What happened? And when they began to sing and praise, the Lord set an ambush against the men of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, who had come against Judah, so they were routed. The Ammonites and the Moabites, they ambushed the Edomites. And after they have killed all of them, they actually went up against each other and killed each other. Without even lifting a finger, while they were shouting, "Give thanks to the Lord, for his love endures forever," there was great confusion in En-Gedi. Instead of fighting and toppling up the kingdom of Judah, they were actually fighting with each other. God created some sort of confusion. There was an ambush. Maybe they thought they were the enemy, but they were actually their allies. Right? When Judah came to the watchtower in the wilderness, they looked toward the horde, and behold, there were dead bodies lying on the ground. Verse 24, none had escaped. The entire enemy, the entire army of the enemy, they were just gone. Not a single soul was left. And they spent 3 days gathering the spoils of their enemies. Three huge armies, three kingdoms, defeated without a scratch, without any casualties, without lifting any single weapon of war. It's interesting when you read this. I want you to keep that open, but when you go home, please read that account. It's not just a historical account of something that happened in the Old Testament. This is relevant and true to all of us. As I was reading this, I was reminded of the many battles that I faced. And many of them, I tried to fight on my own. Magaling ako, kaya ko to. I've been through this before. I can go through this easily. It might be harder this time, but I can do this. Out of my own dependence on myself, out of my pride, not to even ask for help. We all face battles, and sometimes this is what life looks like ahead of us. Some of them are small hills, but some of them are big mountains and raging seas. And we all get hopeless. We all get scared. Okay lang yun. It's natural. God doesn't see us less of a Christian if we come to Him and say, "Lord, I'm afraid. Lord, I do not know what to do." He doesn't look at you less of a Christian because you admitted that you need Him. But today, God wants us to take heart. Whatever you are going through, there's no perfect family. You look at their Instagram pictures, they just traveled abroad, spent Christmas or New Year in a fancy place, and they look so happy. They have all the money to spend. There is no perfect family. We all go through battles, but at the same time, we also have blessings. When you are in a battle, seek the Lord. Do not fight your battles standing up. Fight your battles on your knees. Seek the Lord in prayer. Declare His power. Remember everything that He did to you in the past. Cry out to Him and say, "Lord, I need You. I don't know what to do." Not because He doesn't know that you need Him, but because He wants us to seek Him in humility. The moment you say, "I need You," to your coworker, it means, you know, you're putting yourself in a place of, "I need help. Can you help me?" And that's what the Lord wants us to be. He wants us to be in a place where we say, "Lord, I will not do this on my own. I need You." And we say, "Lord, bahala ka na. I do not know what to do. I relinquish every desire to have control over this situation or fix this. I will be still. I will quiet my heart. And I will look up to You, for You are my refuge and my strength, my help in this present danger I'm facing." I will remember, Lord, that the battle is not mine, but yours to fight. For it is not by my strength, but by your power that this battle will be won. My help comes from you and from you alone. And our stand is this. When you pray to God, you expect Him to do something. Maybe heal you or keep the person that you love alive. Or maybe, you know, give you a better job or promote you at your work. When you put yourself in submission to the Lord, when you choose to worship God, our stand should be, Lord, whatever the outcome is, wherever this road takes me, even if it's in a place that I don't want to be, Lord, I choose to trust you. Lord, I choose to thank you. And Lord, I choose to worship you. Today I pray Romans chapter 8 to us. I consider the present sufferings are not worth comparing, Lord, to the glory that you will reveal to us. Lord, help us to remember that the blessing will always be bigger than the battle. Lord, may we seek you in prayer. In humility, strip us off of the arrogance and pride that is in our hearts. Lord, today I surrender to you in faith every pain, every loneliness, every heartache, every betrayal, every disappointment, and every hurt that I feel, because the battle is not mine, but yours to fight. Help me to be still and just know that you are God. Lord, let my posture be not of defense or vindication, but a posture of genuine worship and gratitude. As the whole of Judah declared even before the battle began, today I declare in my heart a song of praise and gratitude. You are my God, and your love endures forever. You are my God, and your love endures forever. You are my God, and your love endures forever. And that is all I need to know. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Let's give God a praise. Have a great weekend, everyone. Enjoy some snacks and fellowship, and we'll see you again next Saturday for part two of our Battles and Blessings sermon series. God bless you all.
You just heard a message from Every Nation Canberra. For more podcasts and for more information on Every Nation Canberra, please visit everynationcanberra.org. Follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/everynationcanberra and on Instagram at instagram.com/encanberra. We meet every Saturday at 104 The Valley Avenue, Gungahlin. Would you like to be connected to a tag group? Email us at everynationcanberra@gmail.com.